Just so happens that my lesson is going to deal with when the Lord comes in a secondary way, and we just sang the song, When He Comes in Glory By and By. I'd like to join with Jerry in saying we're delighted to have you in the services today and give you a warm welcome to come back and be with us here at West Boonville. What I want to talk about today is an unprofitable servant, or the unprofitable servant, because Jesus made that statement in Matthew 25 to a man who was a member of the church, a man who was a servant of the Lord, and he had failed to function in the church or in the kingdom. Kingdom is mentioned. In the kingdom as he should, and the Lord said he was an unprofitable servant. And I don't think any of us in this audience today want to be an unprofitable servant, especially when Jesus comes in glory by and by, which we just sang about a few moments ago. And I hope this lesson will help you to be prepared to meet the Lord, which, of course, this man did on the final day of judgment. Before I do that, I'd like to talk about all of us as human beings. I want to make three or four points. Number one, God made us all and breathed into us an immortal spirit. It says that God breathed into man the nostrils of into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. So man is a composite being of what we call body, soul, and spirit. And then after he made Adam, Adam transgressed God's law, and so God brought upon him physical death. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that in Adam we die. Therefore, we have on us, all of us, since we've been born, the sentence of death. That's physical death. And no one would argue about that. I think everybody would say, well, I agree with the preacher on that. Certainly, I don't believe anyone's going to argue that they're not going to die. That would be rather ridiculous, and because all they have to do is just observe around a little bit. And so we have death. Then we have judgment coming. Appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's going to be a judgment day, a day of reckoning, we call it. And then following that, there's one or two places that the Bible says people are going to go. One is into what we call heaven, or some people call it paradise or eternal life. There are different terms you use for the good place that people can go or may go after they die. Now, the other place is known as Gehenna. It is known as hell or hellfire. It is known in the Bible as eternal death. And as far as the Bible is concerned, you're going to go one or two places. I don't know of any third place that man's going to go in the Bible, at least not in the Bible. And therefore, we have man from his birth on through judgment and on to his eternal destiny, and that's where he's going to spend eternity. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that second place known as Gehenna or hell, and that's a place I don't think anyone would want to go. It's known as eternal punishment, sometimes called hellfire. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if a man calls his brother a fool, he's in danger of hellfire. That's what the Lord said. And so this place called hell, I don't think that anyone would want to go there. But I want to tell you, there are three categories that are going to go to hell, and I want to give them to you now, and I'm going to give you Bible for it. Number one, it is immoral people. And most people would agree with number one. Number one is people who do not repent, and I want to make that clear that even immoral people can repent and get right with God. But if they don't repent, you have liars, thieves, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate people, profligates. You could just go on and on about bad things that people do called sin. We have a city now called Sin City, I believe, out in Las Vegas, because there's much goes on contrary to the will of God. I believe it's known as Sin City. Well, if people don't repent of their sins, they're going to wind up in hell. So I want to discuss the people who are going there, since I don't think you want to go there. At least I don't. Number one is the immoral people who do not repent, but that's not all. Number two, if you follow me closely, number two, people who are not born again. Now, Jesus said to the Jewish aristocrat Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so people, they may be good moral people. They may not be immoral, but if they're not born again, they're not saved. Even a man like Cornelius, for example, We studied about Cornelius being a good man, a benevolent man, and his deeds of charity and how good a man he was. And yet he had to send to Joppa and call for a preacher by the name of Peter who would tell him what to do to be saved, S-A-V-E-D. Well, if he had to learn what to do to be saved, he was lost. So I take my position that, number one, immoral people who don't repent are going to hell. Number two, people who are not born again are going to go to hell, even though they might be good moral people. Cornelius was. We studied in our class about Lydia, a good woman, no doubt a fine woman, in a prayer meeting service. Paul taught her the truth, and she was born again. She was baptized in Acts 16. We studied that a few moments ago. So I take my position that not only immoral people are going to go to hell who don't repent, but people who are not born again, they're also going to go to hell, if you follow me. Now, if you think I'm wrong about this, I'd like for you to tell me about it. But I don't believe you can show me from the Bible that I'm wrong, because Jesus said you must be born again. And that's pretty strong language. The third group that are going to go to hell, the group that we're going to talk about today, and that is unprofitable servants in the kingdom. This time we're talking about people who have been baptized. They have been born again. They're in the church. They've been added to the church, but they don't work. They're going to be lost. Someone says, can you prove that? Oh, I can read it right out of the Bible. That's what I'm getting ready to do. Matter of fact, part of it was read by Ronnie, and you're hearing a while ago from Matthew 25. One of the last parables that Jesus gave was a parable of the talents. And I want to read that to you because it applies to all of us who are in the kingdom. It applies to us, all of us who are in the church. Now, let's go over it one more time. I don't want you to forget this. People who are going to hell, immoral people. People who are not born again. And then people who don't work in the church. That's the last category. And that's all we're going to talk about today is the last category. Let me read it to you now. Now, as you read along with me, if you'd like to do this, we're in Matthew 25. And it is said here in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, I want to tell you, you know who this person is that went into the far country? That's the Lord. You know what the far country is? It's heaven. You know who these servants in the kingdom are? They're members of the Church of Christ. They're members of the body of Christ. They're people who have been born again. But what did he deliver to them? Well, he delivered unto them his goods. Whose goods? The Lord's goods. Well, whatever talent or whatever ability we have, God gives it to us, and he expects us to use it. And if we don't use it, we're going to be in trouble, as we're going to find out as we read the text. Now, remember, he's talking to members of the church. He's not talking about immoral people. He's not talking about people who hadn't been born again. I've already discussed that. You see, simplicity. My lessons, I believe, are simple. Or at least I try to make them simple. So I went 1, 2, 3, and I'm on the third category now. I'm talking to members of the church. Well, Jesus is talking to members in the kingdom. See, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You're in the kingdom if you're in the church. You see that point? And so he says, he delivered unto them his goods. Well, what's he talking about? Well, as the text says, it means that certain people in the church have different abilities. Now, what the Lord does in a metaphorical way, he says he delivers unto them talents. Now, a talent of silver was worth about $1,000. So the first man, one talent man, he gave him $1,000. The second man, he gave $2,000. And then he gave one man $5,000. And he expected them to take that and turn it over to the changers and to get a profit. And then there's going to be a day of reckoning, and the day of reckoning is a judgment day. You see, he's away in the far country now. He's in heaven, but he's going to come back and reckon with members of the church. And he has given you some talents, if I could call it that, according to your ability. Now, the first thing I notice the Lord says about members of the church is they don't all have the same ability. You know what ability is. I'll not even take time to define it. Some people just have more abilities than others. And therefore, I believe that's why God expects some people to do more than others. And I believe that's why he gave one man five, one two, and another one, is he recognized, matter of fact, it says that, according to their several abilities. God expects of you in the church to do whatever you're able to do, not more than you're able. God never does require you to do more than you're able to do. But he does expect you to do what you're able to do. You follow me? Well, that's exactly what the text is saying. And so here the Lord, he gives us certain abilities, the ability to do certain things. It's called his goods. And in this case, it happened to be a talent or five talents or four talents. But all that refers to is to whatever you're able to do in the church. That's what he's referring to. And it says, to one he gave five talents. And I'll just give this to you rather than reading it all. He saw this one man in the church, in the kingdom, and he had great ability. And so he said, I'm giving you five talents. Well, you know, he had to work harder than that one talent man. But why did he have to work harder? Well, he had more ability. And God levied on him more responsibility. There's no doubt about that. Then he dropped down to this two talent man. And he recognized he didn't have the ability of the five talent man, so he only gave him two. But he expected him to use that two properly. But then he dropped on down here to this one talent man. He had less ability in the church than any man. He had less ability than any of them. He had the five, the two, and the one. And so there was a day of reckoning. That day of reckoning, he reckoneth, he said he reckoned with them. That's judgment day. That's all in the world that is. That judgment day, when members of the church are called in on the carpet before the Lord to give an account as to whether we worked in this kingdom we're in. Isn't that simple? If that's not it, you tell me, if you say, Hoagland, you're missing that. That's not what that's. Well, you tell me what it means. If that's not what he's talking about, I'd like you to explain it to me. Because I'd like to know. I believe this is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about people who have been born again. They are in the kingdom. He's not talking about profligates and aliens and people out here in the world. They're going to go to hell if they don't repent because they're living an ungodly life. That's why they're going to hell, which is known as Gehenna in the Greek. But what he's pointing out here is these members of the church, he gave them these talents according to ability, which meant that they had a different ability. Now, the judgment day is when he reckoned with them. So he called in this five-talent man, and the five-talent man says, Lord, you gave me five talents, and look, I've gained five more. So he was a worker in the kingdom of God. He's a good worker in the church. He's a good worker in the church. And I'm going to tell you what that meant when he said he got five more talents in just a minute. Doesn't mean literally he had five talents or $5,000 and he gained 5,000 more. That was the illustration, but that applies to work in the kingdom. That's what that applies to. And the Lord said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You know what the joys of the Lord are? That man went to heaven. That's the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, the Lord says that this man did something in the kingdom and he was saved. So he called the two-talent man in. And he said, what have you done? Well, he said, Lord, I didn't gain five, but I gained two more. He said, that's fine. That's all the ability you had. You didn't have the ability of this other fellow. You only had the ability to do that much. But you did a fine job in what you could do in the church. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. So he went to heaven. Now, isn't that fine? Both of them made it to heaven. Now, let's get to the last one. This is one talent man. He called him in and said, son, what have you done? Well, he said, Lord, I knew you were an austere man, a hard man. Now, that word hard there means someone stern. So, first of all, he falsely accused his Lord. He falsely accused the Lord. This man in the church of Christ. He said, Lord, you were a hard man, a stern man. Well, the Lord's not a stern man. So the first thing he did on the judgment day when he was called in is make a false charge against the Lord. Imagine making a false charge against your Lord. And the Lord said, you knew that I wasn't a hard man. He says, why didn't you put this money to and gain some more, this one talent? You didn't have much ability, but you had the ability to do something in the church. Why didn't you do it? He says, well, I was afraid. Well, what was he afraid of? I really don't know. But that's what he said. He's a member of the church. He said he was afraid to do any work. Someone said, well, maybe he's afraid he'd make a mistake or he'd make a bad investment. Well, we're all going to make some mistakes in what we do, but we better get out here and be trying to do something. That's what the Lord's telling him. I don't know what he meant by the fact that he said he was afraid. And the Lord says, take this, well, he uses two words here, wicked and unprofitable servant. You know, that's pretty strong language for the Lord to use to a member of the church. Said he's what? He's wicked. Someone says, well, that's because he is the immoral man. No, that's not why he was wicked. He wasn't an immoral man. He was a man that wouldn't do any work in the church. That's who he was. And I hope he doesn't have your number. He just didn't want to do any work in the church. He did nothing. He had some ability. He didn't have much. He says, take this wicked and unprofitable servant. That's what it said. You read it. It's in the book. It's in Matthew 25. You can read it. It's in the text. He was both wicked and unprofitable. Well, Lord, what are you going to do with him? He said, cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, where is that? That's hell. That's hellfire. That's where that is. Someone said, but who said that? The Lord said it. Hoagland didn't say it. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of... Do you really believe the Bible? Well, I do. And if that's not what the Lord is teaching, then I'd like for someone to show me what he's teaching. He is just showing that this man didn't do any work in the church, even though he didn't have much ability. Someone said, but wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. According to that, a third of the members of the church are going to be lost. If you take two of them and one man went to hell and the other two went to heaven, then that means only two-thirds of the members of the church are going to make it to heaven. A third of them are going to go to hell. Well, I don't know that you could use that as a basis of figuring how many out of the church are going to go to hell. Of course, in this case, it was. Two of them went to heaven and one of them went to hell. Members of the church, members of the kingdom. But why did this man lose his soul? It wasn't because he's immoral. You can't find that in the text. The only reason under the canopy of heaven this man was lost is he was a do-nothing in the church. He was called a slothful servant. You know what the word slothful mean? Well, it actually means lazy. One of the meanings of it, you look it up. He says, a slothful servant. Lazy, as far as the church was concerned. He didn't live up to his ability. Now, someone says, now, I know the Lord used this word talent, which was money of about $1,000. Talent of silver. But how does that apply to us? What that applies to us is the fact that we have certain abilities in the church and we had better do whatever we're able to do or we're going to be like one talent man. Now, what I want to show you, I'm going to show you some things, some work that you can do in the church and things you can do in the church that doesn't take any ability. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do what I'm going to mention now. Then I'm going to tell you some things that it takes special ability to do in the church of Christ. Number one, it doesn't take any ability to attend the services of the church unless you were sick or providentially hindered some way. But as far as any ability, anyone could attend the service of the church. Some folks won't even do that. They won't even attend the service of the church yet. And I know you can do that work. And anyone can observe the Lord's Supper. Doesn't take any special ability to observe the Lord's Supper, does it? Any special ability to eat the Lord's Supper, like the Lord told you? It doesn't take any special ability to sing a song when we sing praises to God. No particular special ability that it takes. And to pray, does it take any special ability for you to pray to the Lord God Almighty? Is there anything, the special ability? Not necessarily. Anybody can do that in the church, in the kingdom of God. What about giving? Well, yes, you're to give as you're prospered, 1 Corinthians 16. As God has prospered you, and anyone can do that. And you know, there again, if you factor into that ability, the Lord even said that you're to give as you have the ability to give. He doesn't require of you more than you're able to give, even in giving, which would fit into the same thing he says here. But you can give whatever you've been prospered. You can give. Anybody can give. And so we found out that it doesn't take any special ability to assemble with the saints, Hebrews 10:25, to obey that command, to do that kind of work, and to sing and to pray and to observe the Lord's Supper and all of that. Anyone can do that. Any member of the church can do that. And yet some folks don't even do that. Some folks think nothing about missing the Lord's Supper. It didn't bother them to miss the Lord's Supper. And to fail to assemble with the saints, it doesn't bother them at all. It doesn't bother them at all. Well, I'm afraid they're going to be like that one talent man. Have you lived up? Couldn't you have at least done that, the Lord's going to say? I didn't give you much responsibility, but you could have at least done that. The one talent man said, but I was afraid. I was afraid and I hid my talent. He says, this unprofitable and slothful servant, cast him into outer darkness. Cast him into outer darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, he's no good. Lord said it. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Now, someone says, but this special ability. Well, for example, there's some people have the ability to teach and preach. Not everybody could preach a sermon. And if you're able to do it, you'd better do it. And I have felt that God has wanted me to preach, and all these years I've done it and baptized a few folks in life. Converted quite a few, matter of fact. And I want to tell you, my friends, not everybody is cut out to be a preacher. So they don't have to. Not everybody's cut out even to be a teacher. It might be for some reason you couldn't teach. That could probably be a number of reasons for that. Only the Lord, of course, would be the final judge about that. And then there's some things that you might have the ability because you have maybe a stronger body physically. There might be, for example, some people are born with afflictions in the body that they wouldn't be able to do what other people would do. Therefore, the Lord wouldn't require that of them. It wouldn't require them to maybe travel around and to teach other people, such as another man might do. And then there's that giving. Some people are blessed abundantly with this material goods, and they're able to give money and help to other people, even to distribute some of the money they make to other people and help them, whereas maybe another person wouldn't have that blessing. And so, you see, we don't all have the same abilities. And this ability, which the Lord talks about, has many ramifications and covers a lot of territory. But the point that the Lord is trying to make, and that I'm trying to make, is that the Lord expects you to do what you're able to do, and you do not want to underestimate your ability. I've had people in the church sometimes to say, well, I just can't do this, and I just can't do that. And there might be reasons for you not praying, leading a public prayer. There might be reasons for you not wanting to lead a song sometime. And I can't be the judge about it. And there might be reasons that you couldn't help with the Lord's Supper. And there might be reasons that you might not be able to do too much personal work. Might be. But if you're able to do these things, you see, each one fits into his own category. Then God expects you to do that, and the day of reckoning is coming. There was the five-talent man, the two-talent man, and the one-talent man, and two of them went to heaven, and the other went to hell, into outer darkness. And therefore, this parable, ladies and gentlemen, is a parable addressed to members of the body of Christ. Now, I want to go over one more time what I said at the beginning about who's going to hell. Number one, liars, thieves, adulterers, fornicators, sinful people who don't repent are lost. Number one. Someone said, well, I agree with that. They ought to go to hell. Number two, people who are not born again. John 3:5. You got to be born again. You got to obey the gospel. If you don't obey the gospel, you're like Cornelius, you're lost. You're like Nicodemus, you're lost. You're like Lydia, you're lost. You're like Saul of Tarsus, you're lost until you're born again. That's number two. Number three, people who fail to work in the kingdom of God, like the one talent man, they're cast into outer darkness. Now, I know there are people who say, well, I believe in the doctrine of once in grace, always in grace, and I believe once saved, always saved. Well, if you believe that, you haven't read Matthew 25. And if you've read it, you haven't understood it. Because all three of these men were saved from their sins. They had been baptized. They had obeyed the gospel. They had been born again. They were in the kingdom, if you please, if you read the text. They were in the kingdom, just like you are. I'd say 90% of you people out here are in the kingdom. Just like you. They were in the kingdom, but only two of them were saved. One of them lost. Now, I'm going to close my lesson and ask, where do you stand? Are you really working in the kingdom to save souls? Are you really doing everything in the church of the Lord that you could do? Are you doing everything that you have the ability to do? That is the question, because that's the question of the hour, and that is the question of our context. The man didn't do what he had the ability to do, even though he didn't have much, he had some ability. But he wasn't willing to do what he could do. And therefore he was cast into outer darkness. I hope that this will serve as a challenge to the best within you as a member of the church, to wake you up to your responsibility in the church. You don't just come into the church and sit down and say, oh, I've got it made. I have nothing else to do. If so, you're going to wind up like this one talent man. You don't want to wind up like the one talent man. Neither do I. I don't want to be the one talent man. I'd like to be like the five talent man or the two talent man, where the Lord will say, enter into the joys of the Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Be thou you're faithful unto death. Come unto the joys of the Lord. Isn't that what you want to hear? Then you better get to work in the kingdom. Work and do and save souls. And we need every member of the church who'll do that. And when you have every member of the church doing that, you'll see the church growing as it's never grown before. I guarantee you. If you're here and subject to the invitation, I hope you'll come. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?